Let's open our Bibles this evening in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31, commencing to read at verse number 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto woman, nor thy ways to them which destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. For Jesus' sake, amen. I want to speak this evening upon listen to the wise words of a mother. For me, it's very appropriate. This is called Mother Sunday. Because yesterday, 2 years ago, my mother went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm 58 years of age, and I stand on this pulpit before my own congregation, and I can say with all my heart, I'm proud she was my mother, and I love her with all my heart. When you come to the book of Proverbs, you'll find it's a book of instruction. It's interesting to notice that Proverbs opens chapter 1. And when you look at chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs, we're not going to do that tonight, but if you look at chapter 1, it's a father talking to his son. And this father is seeking to give instruction to his son, give the best possible advice he can for a boy who's going out into life and facing the challenges that lie before him. But whenever you come to the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, you find something different. Because if the first chapter and many of the others of the chapters of the book of Proverbs is a father speaking to a son, the last chapter is a mother speaking to her son. And so we find there's instruction here, the instruction of a mother. You'll notice in verse number 1 of chapter 31, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. The prophecy that his mother taught him. And so we find here, here's a young prince, and someday this young prince is going to be king. There are many lessons that he has got to learn. There's much that he has got to be taught. And so I see a mother sitting here, and she takes this child upon her knee, perhaps beside the hearth, and this good and godly mother seeks to instruct her child in the things that she believes is important for him to know as he goes out into the journey of life. Now we know little about Lemuel. It says here in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. So whenever he was a child and as he was growing up, we find that his mother instructed him in the way that he should go. Some suggest that Lemuel may be another of a name actually for Solomon. Now, I don't know about that because that is conjecture, people suggesting that that is so. But what I do know is this, I know what his mother told him. I know what this prince was told by his godly mother. It says, his mother taught him. Let me say this to you tonight before I just move on. Mother, I believe that God has given you a special position in your life. God has given you an honored position. Some people say to or ask the question, what do you do? Oh, well, I'm just a housewife or I'm just a mother. Friend, it's nothing of the sort. God has given you one of the most important jobs and positions that were ever given to any person. When God has given you the position of a mother, remember this fact. The Bible says children are the heritage of the Lord. And therefore, mother, when God has given that child into your hand, God has given you one of the most precious privileges that any woman could ever have, and that is the privilege of teaching your child, because here is a mother that taught her son, the young prince who became King Lemuel, and she was important things that this mother has got to say. There's an important lesson here. And it's simply this, mother, listen to me carefully. In God's name, may God teach you to talk to your children. Talk to your children. That's what this mother did. You see, the world is baying after your child, and the world's wanting to lead your child astray. And I believe with all my heart that the days and the years that God has given you in the early moments of your child's life, let me tell you this, those are the moments, the foundational moments. I'll tell you this, mother, there is no more important business in all the world that God has given to any person, but God has given it to you. It's priority time with your children. Remember that it's priority time. You know, people give their lives to building countries and building societies. Let me tell you this. You're building character. You're building young lives, mother. In God's name, listen to you. Listen to me. The world's out there, and the world will try to take your child, and the world will try to twist your child into the ways of ungodliness and worldliness. In God's name, mother, it's priority time that you've been given under God for the bringing up your children. And this mother taught her son. She talked to him. I remember some years ago, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a telephone call from the hospital. A young man was lying in the hospital. Some of you heard me say this before. A young lad was lying in the hospital. And this young lad had taken an overdose and was critically ill. In actual fact, he was so critically ill that they nurse rang from intensive care and she asked me to come. It's a Roman Catholic nurse. And she'd often seen me at the hospital and visiting the hospital. And she, the only one she could think of, she couldn't find anyone else that could come from the Protestant community. And so she rang me and she asked me, she said, Mr. McCray, I'm sorry to impose upon you, but can I ask you, would you please come and speak? There's a young lad here and we dare not let him go to sleep. And I went to the hospital that night, friend. When I went to the hospital, I sat beside that young fella. And the nurse sat at the other side of the bed. I can still see it, the first bed in intensive care. And as I sat, I realized there was a young lad that was traumatized, realized there was a young lad that was broken. His heart was broken. In actual fact, he was so far broken by life, he tried to commit suicide and end it all. And as we shared together through the night, friend, and I sat to near 6 in the morning, as we sat through the night, as we talked, I said to the young fellow, I said these words, I said, son, tell me, was there no one you could talk to? Was there no one you could share? You seem to have many burdens. You seem to have many problems. Was there no one you could unwind to? Was there no one you could share? And these were the words that the young fellow answered me, and I never forgot them. He said, Mr. McRae, he said, I wanted to talk, but nobody wanted to listen. I wanted to talk, but nobody wanted to listen. Then I tell you, this world that we're living in, we're so much under pressure. And mothers and fathers are so busy doing everything and anything. I say to you in God's name, never be too busy to talk to your children. Because I believe there's some of your children that are looking for you to talk to them. Remember some years ago, there was a young fellow, and he was brought up in a rather rich home. In actual fact, he had everything that money could buy. His father was a businessman, but he was so busy in the business, he had no time to talk to his son. And every time that his boy would come in, and he'd want to walk around, and he wanted to get up on daddy's knee. He wanted just daddy's time and daddy's love. But daddy was so busy in the business and in life. So the father would reach into his pocket and he'd take out £1 or £2 or £5 and would hand it to his son. Get what you want, son. Until one day, the boy, when he grew up into his teenage years, he had tried to get his father's attention so many times. So he decided, the only way to get attention of my father is this. I'm going to get in trouble. And the young fellow got into trouble, friend, with the law. And the young fellow was lifted by the police, and then he was taken to prison. And his father did come just long enough to say to him, son, you have disgraced our name. I never want to see you again. Did not I give you everything that money could buy? And the young fellow said, Dad, I wasn't looking for your money. I was looking for you. I just wanted you. Here's a mother that talked and taught her children. I remember coming up the town that morning, around 6 o'clock in the morning, and I remember coming up the Broad Street and I remember saying in my heart, oh God, I know I'm busy, but Lord, please, don't ever let me get too busy to talk to my children. And friend, there's a lot of things that can stop us doing it, isn't it? And the years of your childhood, listen, it's passing. It's passing quickly. A mother was playing with her young children on the lawn one day. And her husband yelled out of the living room. He said, Elizabeth, be careful not to hurt the grass. Elizabeth thought for a moment and she said to him, Tom, we're not raising grass. We're raising children. This mother taught her child. Now, I don't know, as I said, much about Lemuel, but what I do know is this. I know what his mother told him. And that's what I want us to look at this evening very quickly. What did she tell him? You see, the world bombards your child with philosophies and theories and teachings. And so often falsehood. But here's a godly woman. Here's a godly mother. And this mother reminds her son some very precious things. She tells him, first of all, how it came to be that God had blessed her and God had blessed the home with this child, and he was fearfully and wonderfully made. Notice what she said in verse 2. She said, "What, my son? What the son of my womb? What the son of my vows?" And here was a mother that talked to her child, and she said to her child, "You know, son, you're my son. God give you to me. You are the son of my womb." You see, we're living in an age when people today are being told by the evolutionists that we came from monkeys, that our heritage and our background is away up some tree. And here's a mother, and she loves her son, and she sets him down, and she says, "Son, listen, remember, no matter where you go, remember, you're my son. You're my gift from God. You're my heritage from the Lord, because you're the son of my womb." That's an important thing for us to remember too, friend. To teach them the truth. That we came to be from the handiwork of God Himself, because the Bible says that we were formed in our mother's womb. Yes, the Word of God says we were fearfully and we were wonderfully made. And as her mother thinks about her son, and she loves him, because he's the son of her woman, she says, "Son, he's the son of her vows." Then she seeks to guide him. She seeks to warn him against the dangers that are around him. And any mother that loves her child will seek to do likewise, friend. Maybe children sometime have got this idea. "My mother keeps going at it. My mother never stops preaching to me. She never stops talking to me. And she never stops warning me. It's like the prodigal son. I believe there was a moment in that boy's life that he thought to himself, I'd love to get away from home. I'd love to get away from a father's teaching. I'd love to get away from a father's strictures. If only I could get away, what life would be. I'd live life to the full." And here's a mother who loves her son, and she warns him against the dangers, first of all, of the destructive forces of life. This is what she says in verse 3, 4, 5. She says, "Give not thy strength unto woman, son, nor thy ways to them which destroy kings." It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, and for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. And here is a mother, and she's reminding him of the destructiveness, the things that will take many of her young people and destroy their lives. How many young people and friends have wasted their lives in sinful living? She said to him, "Son, give not thy strength unto woman." It was not that she was not wanting him to have a wife. It was not that she was not wanting him to have a godly woman to be by his side. Friend, you'll see the very opposite as you read the rest of the chapter. But what she was warning was this: "Give not thy strength unto woman." Friend, she was talking about sinful relationships. She was talking about relationships that ought not to be. Young men that are carried away by the passions of life, and they destroy their innocency, and they destroy their lives, and they can never bring back their purity again whenever they lose it. Neither can the young woman when she loses her virginity, neither can she take back her purity either. Because once it's lost, it's lost. And here's a mother, and she loves her son, and she said, "Listen, son, I want to warn you something. There will be the passions within yourself, there will be the passions within your body, and the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eye. But son, I beg you in God's name, I beg you, do not give your strength unto woman. Don't hand away or waste your life upon sinful living." You see, it says here, "nor the ways of them that destroyeth kings." If this was Solomon, if this was, my friend, David's son, remember, David carried the scars of his sin in his body for the rest of his life, or in his life for the rest of his days. And whilst it's true that David was pardoned and David was forgiven, he still carried the scars. the day that he gave his strength unto Bathsheba. And he sinned with her. And then she said to him, "Son, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, and for princes strong drink." And here's a mother, and she knows the reality of what it is, of how alcohol destroys life and wastes the body and corrupts the mind. The evil of intemperance. You see, here was a young man that was going to become the king. Here was a young prince, and he was going to be one who was going to be sitting upon the throne. And therefore, drink, it says in verse number 5, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment. Here was a young man that had justice in his hand, and whenever alcohol would come in, the wit would go out and perversion of justice and forget the law. And friend, when intemperance comes into a life, it leads to a selfish disregard to the claims of others, and it clouds the mind, and it brings an inability to the minds of those that are taken thereby. Think of the wrecks. Think of the wrecks of young people, friend, along the highway of life that drink and alcohol has destroyed. Think of the wrecks of young men that a harlot woman has destroyed. They've given their strength away. And here's a mother, friend, and let me tell you, she loves her son so much that she talks to him. Let me ask you a question. Do you talk to your children about these things, mother? Do you sit down and talk to your children about the things of life, the realities of life and living? Or do you wait until they destroy their purity? Do you wait until that they're consumed by alcohol before you raise your voice of warning? Here's a mother who loves her son so much that she warns them, she seeks to guide them, to guide this young man concerning the things indeed that are destructive forces in their life. Secondly, she seeks to guide him to demonstrate fearlessness in life. Go to verses 8 to 9. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. In other words, here's a mother, and she's looking at her son, and she says, "Listen, son, you're going to be king someday. And I want you to remember this. I want you to stand up for what's right. And whenever something's wrong, don't be silent. Whenever there's a cause of the poor and the needy, it says, open thy mouth, judge righteously." Oh, we live in an age, friend, when it seems to be that nothing's right or wrong anymore. Everything's some shade of grey. Nothing's black or white. And yet, my friend, when you come to the Word of God, listen, right is still right and wrong is still wrong. Sin is still sin in the sight of God. I was down in the St. Mary's Grammar School answering questions as a member of the local assembly at the time, and I was one of the persons asked to answer questions. And we came to some of the subjects on the Sexual Orientation Act and civil partnerships. And I said to those young people, I said, "You know, you don't often hear people talking about sin anymore. But I want to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, as far as God's concerned, rather, I said, God's word tells me sin is still sin. And fools make a mock of sin. And whenever you stand up and you call sin, sin, then fools will mock you. But whether they mock you or not, you have a duty before God to stand up for truth and to stand up for right. And that's what a mother's saying here. She said, listen, son, I want you to have a boldness, son, for what's right. You see, there are those that are not able to plead their cause. And you're going to be sitting in judgment someday as the king in the gate. And I want you to judge righteously, son. I want you to use your authority. I want you to use the power that God has given you, son. I want you to use it for right. I don't want you to abuse the power that God's given you. I want you to do what's right in the sight of God. Listen, mother, do you tell your child that? You see your son doing wrong, you see your daughter doing wrong, you just let them go on. Are you silent whenever right or wrong has been compromised? Are you a godly mother? Friend, let me tell you, you know when you start? Start when they're in your arms. Because when you see the teenagers, and then you try to correct at them, and you've never stood for the right up until then, I tell you, you're too late. They'll mock you. Do you remember Lot? Whenever God told Lot that God was going to judge that city, he went to his sons-in-law and he said, sons-in-law, I want to tell you, God's going to judge this place. I want you to get out of the place. And I want you to leave the city. And the sons stood back and the Bible says they mocked him. Do you know why? Because they said, Lot, weren't you the person who brought us here? Were you the person that compromised us in the first place? And brought us here. And here's a godly mother, and she's seeking to guide her son, yes, against the forces of evil that will destroy him, and to demonstrate the fearlessness in life. And then she does something else. She seeks to guide him to desire a friend for life. We're living in a world tonight that's mocking at the family unit. And people today are so talking about their partners rather than their wife. And the reason why it is because they're not their wife. And so many today are cohabiting. And when you write down whenever you're speaking, and this is Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. No, it's nothing of the sort then. It's Mr. and Miss So-and-so. But they're buying their houses together and they're living together and they're cohabiting together instead of the institution of marriage. And manhood is under attack and womanhood is under attack. And society has lost all its ways as far as moral values are concerned anymore. And the pulpits are silent. And the family unit. And the marriage bond is no longer held in honor. And here's a mother, she loves her son, and she said, son, I want to tell you something. She said, I told you, give not your strength unto a woman. But then she says this in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is above rubies. And here's a mother and she longs for her child to get a person in life that is a virtuous woman. And very quickly I want to break this down. As time's quickly going, friend, and I want to just simply leave a few thoughts with you here. When you talk about this virtuous woman, the value of a virtuous woman. You see, we live in a society that looks on what people have rather than what people are. And whenever you talk about people today, you know, we're talking about people's value. We're talking about people's possessions instead of their persons. We're talking about people's circumstances. And society uplifts and honors people because of their circumstances, what they own, what they have, what they possess, instead of their character. And here's a godly woman, friend. And she wants her son to get a woman, a godly woman, a godly, virtuous character. Because you see, virtue has got to do with character. Remember people saying to me, whenever my kids were around my feet, they said to me, listen, what do you want your child to be? What would you like your child to be? And I said this, friend, before God. I said, listen, I would rather my sons growing up to brush the streets and know Jesus than to have a worldly position and be lost and go to hell. But that's not how society looks at it today. Because they look at what we possess instead of our person. We look at what our circumstances are instead of our character. And it says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Listen, for her price is far above rubies. There's the value of a virtuous woman. Secondly, verses 11 and 12, look at the verity of a virtuous woman. And somebody say, well, what's verity? It means trustworthy. Trustworthy. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, the Bible says, if you just keep your hand there, go back to chapter 12. And this is what it says in verse 4. Proverbs 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. My, she is so precious. Why is she as crown? The crown of her husband. Because listen, my friend, her husband trusts her. And the reality is this, young people, if you're building friendships, let me tell you this, you will never build a home without trust. And if you can't trust her, then you can't leave her. You can't trust them, then you can't leave them. You've got to always be looking at them. You've always got to get your eye upon them. Why? Because you can't trust them. Friend, they're not the person for you. If you can't trust them, then you can't live with them. There's no use you marrying them if you can't trust them. Because homes built on trust. Families are built upon trust. And the Word of God says this concerning this woman, this virtuous woman, that's the crown of her husband, the heart of her husband doth, mark the next word, safely trust in her. He can safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Why? Because he knows that she will do him good and not evil. All the days of her life, she's going to be a faithful woman. She's going to be faithful to him. He can trust her to be faithful. Why? Because he knows that this woman is so much in love with him and he with her, that, friend, let me tell you, she'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Husband and wife, let me ask, do you trust each other? Is there trust in your home? Or whenever he goes out through the door, friend, listen, has the trust been broken that you can't, you know, whenever he doesn't turn up in 5 minutes, you're saying, listen, I wonder where he is. And friend, there's a question mark over what he's doing. And what's the problem? What's the heart of the problem, friend? You don't trust them. And I tell you, that's a sad relationship. Because when trust is broken down, friend, the reality is this. It's hard to rebuild it. It's hard to regain it. But it says concerning this virtuous woman, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. The value of a virtuous woman, the verity of a virtuous woman, thirdly, the vineyard of a virtuous woman. And that'll go from verse 12 away down there to verse 27, friend. We haven't time to go into it tonight, but you just look for it yourself. Listen, I'll tell you about this virtuous woman, friend. Listen. Listen to me carefully. It says there in verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and she giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. Listen, what about this? What is it? Listen, her home is the very center of her life. Her home's the center of her life, friend. And whenever you go into this passage, this mother is saying, listen, yes, she's working, but listen, she explains why she works. She's not a career woman. This person's not working for herself. Here's a woman that she's working for her family. She's working at home. She's there. She buys a vineyard. She sees a field. And she plants it. And she works it. And everything she's doing, the home's the center of her life. It grieves me when I hear people talking about mothers today, and they're always talking about as if they're career women. My career. Let me tell you this, my friend. If God has given you His heritage and God has given you children, let me tell you, that's the best career of all. Raise them in Jesus' name. Because this godly woman, friend, everything she's doing, she's not doing it for career. She's not doing it for herself. She's doing it for her home. The home's the very center of her life. You know, the world tells us that you can't be happy being a mother just bringing up children. And the breakdown of family life is a national tragedy. I want to tell you this, my friend. Bringing up your children is more important than a new furniture. And it's more important than a new car. To raise a life for God. To raise a young man, a young woman. Because let me tell you, if you don't listen, they'll either be the source of your greatest joy, or they'll be the source of your greatest heartache. One or the other. I was looking at this, you know, and I was just thinking about this mother here, home. Let me just give you this. If you have a pen, you can just write this down, or bear this in mind. Home is the place of consideration. Verses 19 and 20. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hand to the needy. It's the place of consideration, helping others. It's the place of care, verses 21 to 24. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. You know why? Because she's taken care of it. She's not afraid of the snow. She's not afraid of something happening. She's taken care. Why? Because she's prepared for it. She's prepared for her family's needs. It's a place of care, loving care. It says this, she is not afraid of the snow. It's not a place of fear. There's no fear here. It's a place of care. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. It's a place of character. Let me tell you, what your child is more important than what your child has. What they are. What they are is more important than what they have, friends. Let me tell you this. They can have, but it can be taken away from them. But if you raise a godly young fellow with character and with decency and with integrity, thank God those things will stand the test. Look at verse 26. It's a place of counsel. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. What that means, she knows not only what the right thing to say, but she also knows the right way to say it. Counsel and kindness. You know, sometimes we can be very hard in our attitude as parents. But friends, let me tell you this. We need to have a counsel of godly wisdom. Which is filled with love. Oh, I earnestly pray that my kids know that I love them. Well, there are times I have to lay down the law, and I did. But I love them. I love them. And when I give them counsel, even though they perhaps don't even take it, listen, this woman here, she opens her mouth with wisdom. My, the counsel that she's got, it's wise counsel. She knows what to say. But then it says, in her tongue's the law of kindness. She knows how to say it. It's a place of counsel. Look at verse 27. It's a place of comfort. She looketh well to the ways of her household. And she eateth not the bread of idleness. Here's a woman and she seeks out ways to be a blessing to her family. This is a mother, friend. We sang tonight, oh, give us homes. Oh, God, grant that God will give us mothers that really love the Lord. Here's the value of a virtuous woman, the verity of a virtuous woman, the vineyard of a virtuous woman. Verse 28, the victory of a virtuous woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he pleaseth her. Here's a mother and she gains her children's love. Here's a woman and she gains her husband's love and respect. The children rise up and they call her blessed. Tell me, what's the secret of all of this? Verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What's the secret, friend? Fearing God. She loves the Lord. She loves the Lord. Here's a woman that stands in awe of God. And I read when I was preparing this message, this little phrase. A mother is the only person on earth who can divide her love amongst 10 children. And yet each child still have all her love. Amazing position of a mother. Abraham Lincoln said, I remember my mother's prayer, and they have followed me They have clung to me all my life. George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her, a godly woman." Let me just finish with this. I was thinking about mothers. And I thought about Moses' mother. Moses' mother was a foreseeing mother. You see, Moses' mother had a child. It was a little girl. She called her Miriam. Amram was the father and Jochebed the mother. And God gave them that first little child, that little daughter, and called her Miriam. And then God blessed the home again and gave them a little boy. His name was Aaron. And then 3 years later, God gave them another little boy. His name was Moses. But in between the birth of her first little boy and her second little boy, the king, Pharaoh, had made a decree that any boy that was born of the Hebrews was to be killed. For 3 months, Moses' mother hid her child. But she knew she had to let him go. She was a woman of prayer. She was a foreseeing mother. She didn't close her eyes. She didn't bury her head in the sand. She knew there was realities here that she had to face. And so she sought the face of God. And so she prepared a little basket. And she made it of bulrushes. And now she pitched it. Because she wanted, whenever she put it into the water, and she would pray, she made this a special little basket because she knew that this mother so loved her child, she had to prepare him for what was lying ahead. She was a foreseeing mother. Think about her. Then I thought about Hannah. Hannah was a faithful mother. And Hannah cried to God and she says, "God, I'm no child. And God, I want you to give me a son." And God heard her cry. And as she held her little child in her arms, she said these words, "For this child I prayed." But she knew she had to give him back to God. And she brought her son to the temple there as a little boy. But here's a faithful mother, because every year she came back. And in her heart, although her son was there with Eli in the temple, her heart was still there. She loved him. And every year she brought him a new little coat. Because she was a faithful mother. She did what she could. And then over in the Old Testament says, "Can a woman forget her suckling child? Yes, she may forget." There's a forgetting mother. And friend, there are many families tonight. And the children feel that they're forgotten, that nobody cares, that nobody loves them. And they're cast aside and they're shoved from pillar to post because of a forgetful mother. And then I thought of Mary. And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. And as I thought of Mary, I thought about a forgiven mother. Because what did she say? "I rejoice in God, my Savior." A forgiven mother. As we close the service tonight, Maybe there's a son here. Maybe there's a daughter here. And friend, a mother has been giving you advice and you don't want it. A mother has been giving you correction, but you don't desire it. You want your own ways. You want to go in the way of the world. But a mother has sought to put the barriers in your pathway because a mother loves you. She's a faithful mother. She's not a forgetful mother. She was one that indeed is a foreseeing mother. She sees the dangers that lies before you. She sees the path that you're traveling. She sees the pitfalls that you're going to plunge into. She sees the very hell that's awaiting you. And that loving mother, that faithful mother, she has been a forgiven mother herself. And she loves your soul. And she wants to see you saved. And she wants to see you brought into the family. And you can say therefore like Hannah, for this child I pray it. She's a praying mother. And I sang the hymn tonight, take this message to my mother. It will fill her heart with joy. Tell her that her prayers are answered. For God is saved. Her wandering boy. Is that you? You wandered far from God, friend. Will your mother's prayers be answered tonight? Will you come home? Thank God for a praying mother. And thank God I'll meet her again. Will you? Will you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy holy presence tonight, we thank thee for answers to prayer in days of our past. We thank thee for mothers that heard that news of their wandering boy coming home and the joy it brought to their heart. The mothers have heard their wandering daughter that was so astray and so far away from God. And yet, Lord, with tears and with broken heart, they cried, Lord, I'm coming home. Please bring such home tonight and answer to prayer. As our heads are bowed before the Lord tonight, we're going to sing that little verse, I've wandered far away from God and now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Is there some son, some daughter, some mother, some father, even in this service night, are you coming home? Why didn't you go home tonight? May God give you grace to come to Him. As we sing the verse, just indicate that desire as we sing this verse before we close. Lord, I'm coming home.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. By thy grace I will be thine. Lord, I'm coming
And as we're bowed before God, maybe that's the cry of some heart. When you lift that hand right now before God and indicate that desire, son or daughter, father or mother, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. You lift that hand right now. Lift it toward heaven. He's waiting for you. He loves you. When did you come? Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' precious name, stop the sinner in their hell-bound journey. Stop the backslider in their wondrous path. Bring them to Jesus this night, for Jesus' sake.